sandwich with $600 in the kitchen, drinking coffee, and 73 hours of parish newsletter. This is a free investment, she said. So what is the strange place to hold it? My holder spent on this. Hold what? Asked it. Hold what? Asked Alice. This seems to be sitting on the center. All well from it then. But they're holding it in your church. Are you chasing? What are you talking about? Show me, demanded Alice. Maria handed over the newsletter, and Alice called in laughter. All welcome is most definitely right, she said. But passion sending has nothing to do with sweet dating. In everyday use, passion can often mean romantic love. So as a non-church goer, Maria could perhaps be forgiven for her misunderstanding. But there's also another meaning that gives today its name. Passion also means suffering. And this fifth Sunday of Lent, which we know as Passion Sunday, marks the beginning of Passion Time. Passion time is a time when we Christians focus firmly on the final days that Jesus spent on earth. His walk towards the dreadful suffering of the cross on Good Friday. We know this agony led ultimately to the triumph of his resurrection. But those around Jesus at the time didn't have that comfort. His friends and disciples have become more and more hopeless and afraid, watching his gentle face towards Jerusalem, seemingly intent on his own self-destruction. Mentally, the disciples are suffering too. It has once seemed so simple. Jesus was the Messiah they've been waiting for. He healed those who were sick, preached with amazing authority, and even raised the dead. Why then did he seem so intent on self-destruction? Why wasn't he raising an army to get rid of the brother occupied? Why wasn't he building bridges with the Jewish religious authority instead of going out of his way to antagonize them? Why? Was he really who they thought he was? Judas, for one, was quite clearly having a second thought. Whether he was a priest or not, except in his own election in John's Gospel, he couldn't understand why Jesus accepted their extravagant gift of expensive persons. Why did she not tell it and give the money to the poor? However, Jesus is adamant that his friend Mary of Bethany should be crucified. Because that she required his surgery for the burial of the friend that she loved so dearly. Yet though she at least had accepted the inevitable of Jesus' death, the sacrifice went to all on the cross. And though she may have accepted his fate, it doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. In this scene, we glimpse that double meaning of passion. Passion is suffering. Passion is love. And love can hurt. By becoming a human being in Jesus, God loves us enough to share our human suffering and to die for the sins of us all. like Judas. There are times we can't understand what God is expecting. How often do we hear this question? How can God get really in God? Why does God allow hundreds of disruption? Why do our loved ones suffer? There is no easy answer to this question. Part of the answer, of course, is that we human beings are responsible for a lot of the suffering that we do see in the world. We stand by as governments allow millions of children to die of starvation, while vast amounts of money are spent on warfare. Jesus seems to acknowledge that we'll continue doing this. We always have to fall with you, he says. But part of the answer also lies in the cross, which reveals our loving, compassionate God. The passionate means the God who suffers with us, the offers hope, he says. Mary is a Bethany, an example of how we should not hesitate to show our merciful Jesus expansively. How we should be afraid of what others might think. We can stand up for what we know is right. We can give generously of our time, our talent, or our money to help others. And we can show compassion. Giving of our best to others is a way of giving of our best to God. Yesterday, I attended the monthly prayer breakfast where the leaders prayer breakfast, and it's where faith leaders lay and ordain leads to pray for God's city. It's informal and entirely voluntary. As we broke into groups of prayer, I listened as someone shared how she was being encouraged to follow a certain path, which in some ways would have raised their profile and which they were perfectly capable of doing. Eventually, not wanting the stress of trying to work it all out and seeking to feed the others, which would confuse them even more, they said a simple prayer. God, please tell me right now that this is what you want from me. The moment they finished the prayer, they knew that God had answered the prayer and said, no, this is not what I am calling you to. And immediately they felt at peace. But what really struck me was the Lord said, I know I can give my best to God by continuing with what I am doing. And that is what we Christians are thinking. Not the things which we have seen on, but to give the very best of ourselves to Him. We do that by truly putting our trust in Him, even if we can't put it out the plan we have for ourselves. Mary is an example to us in trusting God's plan, even if we don't understand. Mary trusted that Jesus knew what he was doing, even if she couldn't understand it. That faith was repaid when Jesus rose from the dead and opened up for us and for all a new and living, loving relationship with God. There will always be suffering in this world. We will always have to fall with it. Our faith will continue to challenge us, Thank you.